The time is now 11 o'clock, and we now join the Shannon Hills Chapel in Greensboro for a live broadcast of the morning worship service. The speaker this morning is H.G. McKay. Invite you to turn in your hymn books to number 265, another beautiful hymn that we enjoy singing here very much. Complete in Thee, no work of mine may take, dear Lord, the place of thine. Welcome so many to our audience here at the Shannon Hills Chapel for our Family Bible Hour, and also to welcome the many listeners out in Radio Land from WHCE. I was just mentioning to you earlier about hearing from some of them this week, and they want us to sing in a few moments one chorus that we sing here a lot
He paid a debt he did not owe. It seems that some have not heard that before, and they like it, so in a moment or two, we'll sing that. But welcome to each and every one of you. If you would, just slide over a bit toward the center aisle so that the ushers can have room for those who are coming in. We'll appreciate that very much. And now let us pause and ask God's blessing on our services here, those of us that are here in the main auditorium, and the large number of boys and girls that we have downstairs in our Sunday school classrooms. We do ask you to remember the sick that are listed in our church bulletin there today, a number of them, some going in the hospital this week for surgery and so forth. We'll just ask God's blessing on them. And I think we all ought to ask a special blessing and say a special prayer right now for our president and the leaders of all of the nations. Many things, magnificent things and important things are happening, things that are normally something we might not understand is why it's all coming right now, but God knows in his overall plans all about one leader being taken, another being raised up, what's going on in the Middle East and Russia and here as well. So we're going to ask God's blessing on our leaders at this time as well. We're going to ask our brother Lawrence Carter if he'll lead us in this prayer. Brother Carter.
Let's pray. Our beloved God and Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for our Lord Jesus Christ and for the privilege that we have of gathering here to sing these wonderful songs of praise and thanksgiving to thee, and to remember our Lord Jesus Christ first thing this morning in partaking of the bread and the wine, to worship him in his own appointed way, to remember him as he's asked us to do. Father, we just thank you for each one who has made their way out this morning to gather with us here to worship the Lord and to sing and to praise his holy name. Father, we are concerned this morning about those who are not with us because of illness or for some other reason. We do pray a special blessing upon them where they are. And we ask, Lord, your healing hand will be upon them. And you might be pleased to restore them soon and bring them back to us. And we pray for all those out in radio land this morning that are laid aside, many on beds of affliction, many, Father, who need thy healing hand just now. We pray for them. And we ask you, Lord, if you'll give a special blessing to them. And, Father, we do pray for the leaders of our country and the leaders of all the countries today. We ask, Lord, if you'll give wisdom and guidance and understanding hearts to each one. We pray especially for the leader of our country, our president, and for all of those in authority above us. We pray, our Heavenly Father, too, that you might bless our time here this morning, our children's meetings, the Sunday school. Father, we just ask you to bless the ones who lead our children. In the special groups, Father, the young people's work, the children's meetings, and especially our Sunday school teachers, Lord, we pray that you'll give them wisdom and guidance this morning. Help them to make the gospel simple that our young ones might understand and might receive the Lord Jesus Christ soon in life. We ask our Heavenly Father that your will be done in each one of our lives and that you'll have your own sweet way. Father, help us to sing from the depths of our hearts. He paid a debt he did not owe. Lord, we owed that debt, but he paid it for us, and we're grateful this morning. And we give you our thanks and our praise for all you've done for us and for what you will do for us. And, Lord, we ask, too, that you might save some precious soul here in our midst this morning. We pray for any and all who might be here without the Savior. And we ask that today might be a day of decision for them. And we'll praise you and thank you for it all with much thanksgiving in Jesus' name.
Now let us sing that chorus by request. He paid a debt he did not owe.
He paid a debt.
Once again, we'd like to ask one of our Sunday school scholars who's earned a special pin for his attendance record here at the chapel to come forward, Todd Taylor, for 3 years, and receive this beautiful 3-year bar, Todd, to go with your 2-year wreath and your gold pin. Congratulations to Todd Taylor for that outstanding record. We remind you briefly of the services here today and the rest of the week. You have them in your bulletin. Please pay close attention to them. Be much in prayer about all of our meetings and come when you can At 7 o'clock, we have prayer time tonight for all of the men and ladies, young people as well, who want to gather with us in the Sunday school classrooms to pray. Now, if you have a real burden for the work, as many of us need to have, and some of you say you do have, we'll be looking for an increase in the prayer meeting to pray about the things that are needed here just at this time. 7:15, we'll have our Word of Life Chapel Teens meeting, also the Jet Cadets and Whirlybirds program for our children in classes from 1 through 6. At 7:30 tonight, we invite you to be back here in this main auditorium for the preaching of the Word of God, and our brother Rod Sharp, evangelist and Bible teacher from the Gospel Center in Durham, North Carolina, will be our guest speaker. Monday night, the elders of this assembly will meet beginning at 6:30. Wednesday night is prayer and minister meeting, and we'll be privileged to hear from our executive director of our Mountaintop Youth Camp. Many of you know our brother Charlie Baker from Winston-Salem, and he will be speaking here Wednesday night. Men, don't forget our Saturday morning, our monthly fellowship breakfast gathering at 8 o'clock here at the chapel. You're all invited. We'd like to have you just maybe mention it to an usher if you plan to come, but come anyway. They usually can make arrangements for a few last-minute ones to come, but we had over 60 here. Our last one, we'd like to go up to 75 this time. I believe we could if everybody will really make it an important matter to be here at that time. And men, don't forget the Southeastern Workers' Conference down in Augusta, Georgia, February 21st and 22nd. If you plan to go and need accommodations there or transportation, please see me today and we'll make those arrangements. Now, we celebrate birthdays here at the chapel. We're going to invite all of you out there that have a birthday to please come up and receive a little gift from us. And we'll be wishing you out in radio audience a happy birthday as well. Last week I mentioned one of the Bowmans, and there happened to be three of them in the same family up here, and I didn't recognize and realize that, and we have some in the same family here today. All right, that's first. Let's sing to them as they smile at me both. Back it up, okay? Happy best wishes, and we hope that little bookmark is placed properly there in the Word of God will be a great reminder to you of the verse that's on there and how important that can be in your life. Wedding anniversaries are important here, too, so we celebrate those every Sunday if we have any. Those couples out there with a wedding anniversary any day this week, we'd invite you to join us here at the front, and we'll ask God's blessing on you and recognize you and have a little anniversary song for you. Starting here to my right, and going over to the left.
They have been here for 34 years, going for the gold.
All right, going for the gold. All right, okay. All right, happy anniversary to these two young couples. Happy anniversary to you, happy anniversary to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. Happy anniversary to you, happy anniversary to you, and the best year you'll ever have. And now, Mr. McKay, with a word of prayer.
Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that once again we share with beloved friends and the Lord the joy of their wedding anniversary. We thank Thee, Father, for these two couples whom we love in the Lord, and we thank Thee for their life and testimony for Thee and the contribution that they have made and continue to make to this work in Thy name, Lord Jesus. We pray Thy blessing on them as they pass this another milestone. May Thy presence be very real to them in their home, in their family. And grant, Lord, that Thou'll undertake in every circumstance that arises. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Best wishes. You might remember Dale as he goes in the hospital Wednesday night to have some polyps removed from his vocal cord Thursday. I know what that is. I had that operation many, many years ago, and you'll never believe out there, those of you that know me, that I had to go a month without speaking. Now, I did. It was hard. I was writing little notes, and people were taking out their memo pads and writing me little notes back. Because when you have that operation, they think you can't hear either. So, Dale, you'll know it. You'll go through a lot of that. As you pray for him, pray for his wife. Dale's also been known to like to talk a little bit, but it'll be hard on him. But it's harder on the wives, I assure you, when you're not there to talk. And others that we mentioned this week, you will be remembering. We're going to ask the ushers to come forth. We'd like to recognize our visitors here today at Shannon Hill Chapel. And all of you that are visiting, you've never been here before, we're going to give you a little packet and ask you to wear a little ribbon that says, I'm a guest. Fill out the little card if you'd like to and lay it on the seat there as you leave today. All over the building, a welcome. Happy welcome, okay. There's a welcome to you. There's a welcome here, a welcome here. There's a Christian welcome here, hallelujah. There's a welcome here, a welcome here. There's a Christian welcome here. We do appreciate every one of you being here and trust you'll make it a habit to be with us on Sunday mornings. We have many more on Sunday morning. We all do, I suppose, and Sunday night. We have good crowds for Sunday night, but we'd like to invite you to come back and be a part of this fellowship, to hear the Word of God, and to come and sing with us and enjoy it. Bring your children and your young people. There's always good programs for the entire family here on Sunday night. We hope you'll come back and then be back Wednesday night. We're going to ask that the boys and girls now rise and march to their classrooms as we sing One Step More.
One step more, give me faith for one step more, my Savior, one step more, only one step more. When the way is weary and the night is dark and dreary, never fear, He is near. Dark and drear may be the way, I hear my Savior say, follow me. Follow me. One step more, give faith for one step more, one step more.
Now those of you seated in the back of the chapel may feel free to move up for the next few seconds. Be praying for all of the teachers as they stand in front of these classes and teach the Word of God, including our large high school and college Bible class, as well as the Bible class here this time. As you serve the Lord this week, be sure and have someone on your heart to witness to, make it a definite point, also someone to visit, maybe in the hospital, in your neighborhood, or someone here at the chapel that needs a visit. Be sure and do that, and the Lord will bless you, I'm sure, in your own heart. And now to bring a message from God's Word for all of us and for those out in the radio audience, our brother H.G. McKay. Mr. McKay.
You know, Dick may think that some of us forgotten a time when he couldn't speak for a month. But I haven't. In fact, it had me a little worried for a while. I had been preaching for many years that the millennium was in the future. Then I began to wonder, you know, as this unusual silence went on, week after week, I began to wonder if I had possibly been wrong. But we were glad that he recovered his voice, and I think maybe he might just be a little bit wrong about the wives, you know, Betty and Dick's good wife, you know. They may rather enjoy a little silence, you know, an opportunity to speak a little bit, at least around the house. Well, I'm going to speak to you this morning on just one word. I don't mean I'm just going to say one word, but I'm going to center my message on one word. Now, there are two things I like to know about people I'm speaking to, whether it's those I can see here in the auditorium or those whom I cannot see but I know are out there listening by radio. I like to know, first of all, that they're awake.
And then I like to know that they're thinking. It was my privilege to minister for 15 consecutive years at a Bible conference in Florida. On one of my early visits there, a man came to me after my message and he said, Preacher, make me cry or make me laugh, but don't make me think. I said, my friend, if that's your philosophy, you're wasting your time coming and listening to me. I would advise you to stay at home. During that time, for I said, my repertoire does not include any graveyard tales to make you cry, nor any corny jokes to make you laugh. I want you to think about what the Bible says. That's my business in life. Now, I'd like all of you friends here and out there listening by radio to listen while I read to you four verses. Now, I'm not going to tell you where they are until after, because I'd like you to listen to me as I read them to you. In these four verses, you will find or you'll hear the word that I want to speak on. So, just as a little help to get your thinking apparatus in motion, you listen now and see if you detect this word. It's found in each one of these four, and I'm going to ask you, maybe you'll get it on the second verse. If you do, will you raise your hand? Now, when I was teaching at the Emmaus Bible School, I used to tell the young students in trying to get them to participate in our discussion regarding the subject, I used to tell them, now, get your answer in first, because even if it's wrong, it's the first one. And when you detect this word, if you'll just raise your hand here, then I'll know that you are on the beam for the word we're going to speak about. We read these words. This is my first thanks. And Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and him also with whom the cup is found. The second one is this. The second verse is this. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. My third verse is, and I don't see any hand yet, so listen carefully. My third verse is, then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit, for I have found a ransom. Yes, Tina? Found is right. She found it on the third. Now, I know a few of the rest did, but you're a little timid about raising your hand, but the prize goes to Tina. Now the fourth one to complete this. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. In case you want to verify these from your Bible, you'll find the first one in Genesis chapter 44 and verse 16. You will find the second one in Daniel chapter 5 and verse 27. You will find the third one in Job chapter 33 and verse 24. And the last one you will find in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15. Now you know that word found.
which is found quite often in the Bible, is one of those words that can be a sad word or a glad word. It depends entirely on what is found. It can bring a great surge of joy into one's heart. And you can think of many circumstances under which you would do that. Found. My, how happy you are. But it can also be a very sad word. It can bring a flood of fear. Again, I think you can think of circumstances under which the word found would be an ominous one. Now, we were reading in the first verse in Genesis 44:16, God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. There is sin discovered. We were reading in the second one, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. There is one who was found, discovered, to be short weight. Weighed, found wanting. But when we go to the third one in Job chapter 33, we read there a glad word. God is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. There's salvation found. But we were reading in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15, one that can be very, very sad. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There's the eternal sentence found of those who die without Christ. And yet I want to point out to you that there can be a glad note as well in that very ominous verse in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15. The book of Genesis is, to me, one of the very interesting books in our Bible. And it gives us, in brief, the history of a number of very outstanding men. Adam, Noah, Methuselah, Abram, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, amongst others. But there are two men in this book of Genesis that occupy much more space than any of the others. One is Abraham, and that's understandable. A man whose memory is revered by Jews, Mohammedans, and Christians. Abram. Abraham, the father of all them that believe. But the last 14 chapters of the book of Genesis are filled with what to me is one of the most intriguing stories in the entire Bible. I've read it again and again and again these 57 years. And every time I read it, I enjoy it afresh and I learn something more from it. The story of Joseph fills the last 14 chapters of the book of Genesis. Now, I can't possibly take time to give you a brief outline of that story. You read it again. I think you'll find very much instructive there in it, as well as being tremendously interesting. But when we read chapter 44, where we read the 16th verse from, we have 10 men. I don't think I would be wrong in saying they look rather lean and hungry looking. For they had come on a long journey from their homeland, where famine had been raging for a number of years. They had been down to Egypt before to buy some grain. Now they're back again because that grain, of course, had run out. And they are back again. And they are standing where we began reading. They are standing in the presence of the prime minister, we might call him, the second in power and authority in the great land of Egypt. They are standing there. And Judah is speaking. I read you his words. And Judah said, "What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants." What's he talking about? Well, if we look closely at that scene, we see 10 sacks of grain. There they are on the floor. They've been opened. And beside them, beside each one, is a smaller sack of silver. Now, that is what led this man Judah to make this confession: "God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants." Let's ask Judah a question or two. Judah, you are the eldest son in this large family, aren't you?
Yes, sir, I am.
I'm the eldest. There were 12 of us. As the eldest, you were more or less responsible for your other brothers, aren't you? Yes, I guess I am. Well, now, what did you mean by saying this? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servant. What did you mean? We don't quite understand it. What led you to say that? And I think Judah would point to one of those little sacks of silver. And he'd say, "When I saw that, I opened up my sack of grain on the way home. When I opened it up, there was this bag of silver." Well, I said, we would say, "Well, why did that disturb you?" "It reminded me of something a few years ago." Would you mind telling us what that was? We had a young brother by the name of Joseph. He was the youngest at that time.
Yes.
And we conspired together because we felt he was our father's favorite. And we conspired together to kill him.
You did?
Yes.
Did you kill him?
No, we didn't. We kidnapped him. We put him in a pit. And we were going to kill him. But then it was suggested that we sell him instead of killing him. Get something out of him. Who made that suggestion?
I did.
So you suggested that you sell your youngest brother. What'd you get for him? 20 pieces of silver. Oh, now I can see. When you saw that silver in your sack, your mind went back to 20 pieces of silver that you had been willing to sell your youngest brother for. That's it. But now, Judah, did they ever find out what happened to that young brother of yours? No, they didn't. He's been missing ever since. We sold him to some Ishmaelites. They came by in a caravan. We offered him to them as a slave for 20 pieces of silver. They gave us the silver. The last we saw of our young brother, he was being carried down to Egypt by those Ishmaelites. Well, why are you confessing it now if they never found it out? I realize, and I've realized for some time,